Welcome to another Freedom Talk, where Vivekji takes questions from seekers across the world. Freedom Talks happen on Sundays during Vivekji's Meaningful Morning sessions. If you're interested in joining, find out more about Meaningful Mornings on our website, chinmayaniagara.com. Let's tune into this week's questions.
We engage in a workshop called Meaningful Mornings. Meaningful means we're trying to be higher. Not in a secular way, in a sacred way. And this demands that we be deeper also. A sign of being deep is humility. Discipline is when you use your equipments rather than being used by your equipments. Which is why on the weekends, we use our karma indriyas, our organs of action, two of which are walking and talking. We have freedom walks, we have freedom talks. We're almost done. Why do we? I continue with those questions. Anonymous, how can you not have any expectations from your near and dear ones even? Number one, the more independently joyous you are, the less you expect of others. Our expectations are not about doing this or not doing this. Our expectation is that another will complete us. Think of this in a micro way. If you tell someone to do something and you can do it yourself easily, what bothers you is that they didn't listen to you. Not that they didn't do that, you can do that easily. Them listening to you makes you feel complete. But for one who is independently joyous, they don't need another to listen to them. So that's a gauge of your evolution. The more you expect of others, the less joyous you are. Next, there are subjective expectations and objective expectations. Subjective, that only refers to you. Those are emotional, like you should like me, and you should respect me, and you should be like me. Objective expectations are functional externally, like a car having its brakes work. You have that objective expectation. When you go to someone's home, that it will be relatively clean and safe. That's an objective expectation. It makes the world work. You, of course, have to have objective expectations of everyone, especially those who are close, because there's more interdependency. Right now, I'm interdependent on my wife to look after my kids so I can be with you. That's an interdependency. That's objective. For me to make Sheila's decisions. That's not interdependency. That's me being dependent on her and expecting the same. Naturally, there's going to be confusion and fear and sadness. Next, when kids do not listen or follow instructions, how should parents interpret it? This is anonymous too. Why anonymous? I don't know, because every parent and every child goes through this. Often, kids don't listen. Not because of what their parents are sharing, it is their own confusion. They're trying to navigate their own inner world and outer world. They don't know how to. And for those who are younger, they're unable to communicate that. Like our older son Vyasa, when he's frustrated, he's confused within, and it's more confusing because he can't make us understand. He doesn't know the language like we do, or context. And who are kids going to project their confusion on? Obviously their parents. And I have found that they do this more so with the physically smaller parent. The physically smaller parent, because they tend to be smaller. So they project that onto who's physically smaller. I'd shared in a parenting workshop recently, between Sheila and I infer that I'm the gentler parent. But when our kids are confused, they project it on her. Even though they should project it on me, but I'm physically bigger. So they feel like I'm more distant than them in terms of this negativity. So my point here is, try to be more empathetic with your children. Everyone has their own problems. We think we have mortgages and we're getting older, so our problems are more serious. It's all relative. Next is, don't take it personally. When parents personalize their kids, let's call it misinterpretation or misbehavior, they become dejected and frustrated. Being a parent is an amazing exercise in resilience. Keep criticizing yourself. Keep forgiving yourself. And finally, try to relate to your child in their own way. Yesterday, a seeker had heard me share that I have been to like 30 Pearl Jam concerts. And he's a fan of Pearl Jam too. Now everything I say about Vedanta, he's going to listen to more carefully. Correct? Because now we have that relation in terms of music. You relate to your child on their terms, and they will start to relate to what you're trying to guide them in. Last question. Another anonymous one. How can we reconcile a not so blissful arranged marriage as one that was not in our control? Do we just live life now and take it as it happened for my own evolution? Tough questions. Answering what Satchit Ananda is easier than answering this question. Number one, if you can develop the bhava or feeling that all that you're experiencing is for your evolution, and treat that as your prasada. That this is your custom designed responsibility from your original parent. Now, one stipulation here. I come across many relationships, families, where there is abuse. If I'm the parent, and my spouse is abusing me, I may be able to take it, but my kids may not be able to take it, whether emotional or physical. So then I may treat this as prasada, but if this is going to hurt my children in the short term and specifically the long term, then I shouldn't accept that abuse. This is what Bhagavan Krishna is teaching Prince Arjuna. You need to be actively resistant to evil. So it's quite complex, lots of variables. And one more insight. Try to over-communicate with your spouse. We're all so busy that we don't have the time to communicate. That's why these freedom talks are most important. if your default becomes over communication, your spouse may be aware that you're not so happy. And that's quite shocking. If I tell all of you, I'm just not happy with meaningful mornings. You're all thinking, we feel the same way. How come it keeps going on? When will you end this? But that may shock you to whatever, be more disciplined, turn your cameras on, etc. This is just a small example. Over-communicate so that your spouse is not just guessing or feeling everything is fine.